We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, it's a week after elections. It's a year before elections. Elections are always top of mind and always driving what's going on in politics in the state and in the country. Let's talk about it with Rob Sampson, in particular absentee ballots, because absentee ballots are the backbone, structural backbone of the Democrats nationally and in the state in terms of how they rig elections. They want people voting on paper ballots that are easily managed outside the purview of any machinery of supervision. Joining us to talk about it, Rob Sampson, state senator from Wolcott. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me. Always my pleasure.
So what are your takeaways from last week, and how do absentee ballots fit in?
Well, I'm excited to talk about this absentee ballot or mail-in voting issue, because I think it's something that wasn't really on everyone's radar too closely in the most recent election, but the evidence is there of how the Democrats plan to use the alternate view of what the law should be, in upcoming elections. And if we're not careful, they're going to use it in a big way next November. And I would like to draw attention to this issue and prevent that from happening. And basically what it is they have created, through a series of confusing interactions between the three branches of government, from the legislative branch to the governor doing executive orders to the Supreme Court of the state, they have confused the definition of illness in our state constitution to the point of creating no excuse absentee voting, which, you know, no excuse absentee voting is another subject altogether, since they've been trying to push that separately as a constitutional amendment.
Well, can you tell us about that language and what it is that's in the constitution that they're trying to muddle?
Well, what they did is, in the special session of 2020, as a result of the COVID pandemic, they wanted to expand access to voting. And the problem is that you cannot expand access to voting based on illness without opening up the Constitution. And they couldn't do that because a constitutional amendment takes time. It requires a vote in the legislature, and then it has to appear on a ballot for the people to vote on. And they just couldn't do that. So they went around that issue by passing a law which doesn't have the power to change the constitutional requirement of a personal illness being the excuse to receive an absentee ballot. So they kind of fudged over it by saying, well, COVID is the reason you can get an absentee ballot. And the Secretary of State did something that was just completely out of the realm of reason, which is she sent absentee ballots applications to every registered voter in the state, knowing that the voter rolls were a mess and a whole bunch of other side issues. And that allowed people to vote by mail-in voting, even though they were not technically eligible under our Constitution. And the way they did that is she wrote right on the document that any person could check the box for COVID. And that's just simply not constitutional.
So it was a it was taking not even a cracked door. There really was no opening there. And they just dove in and created one using the fact that COVID is a disease to muddle the waters in terms of interpreting the language in the Constitution that says if somebody is sick.
Right. And we thought, you know, on the Republican side, this would be an easy challenge. And we went to court. And unfortunately, the state Supreme Court used this opportunity to protect the Secretary of State for what she had done, and in the process, redefined the nature of personal illness as it appears in our state constitution to mean anyone is sick anywhere in history, thus opening the door to complete and unfettered no-excuse absentee voting. The only difference really now at that point is whether or not the state is funding the mailing of these ballots, which is what they did in 2020. But in this election, what we saw is that in some municipal races across the state, the Democrats raised and spent money for the process of sending those absentee ballot applications just to the voters they identified as potentially likely to vote for their candidates, you know, which is completely ironic. I mean, the Democrats argue every day for how they want more access to voting and more equity, and yet they only mailed the ballots to their voters.
Wait, this was on a statewide basis or in particular communities?
They did it in particular towns. South Windsor is one of them. Guilford is one. Madison. You notice that Republicans did so well in this election across the state. I think we gained 19 or 20 towns flipped from blue to red. But you can also spot some towns where the Democrats did extremely well. And then you start to look into it and you discover the reason why is they increased the turnout on their side so dramatically by sending ballots to supposed Democrat voters.
How do we know that this works, that this, because some people would argue, and there has been evidence presented in national elections that when you open up the early voting, it doesn't actually tilt things in particular one direction or the other.
Well, first off, this is not early voting. It's something entirely different. Early voting would be allowing in-person voting to happen days before or weeks before the actual normal election date. Mail-in voting is something entirely different. And what the Democrats are doing essentially is they are expanding their turnout by helping their voters vote by mail rather than trying to encourage them to come to the polls. So a typical municipal race in Connecticut, I mean, it probably varies, but let's say there's a 30% voter turnout traditionally. Well, if that happens and the Republicans are doing well in town X in Connecticut, that's great. Except when the Democrats decide that they're going to identify and mail all of their supposed Democrat leaning voters, they might increase the turnout of their voters up to 60%, for example.
And so if the smaller the electorate becomes in any particular election, the easier it is to pump up one side's numbers if you've got the machinery and the money and the ability to change the laws in the state or the ability to simply intimidate the whole process and the whole government into going your way because you control everything. So what they've been doing is taking advantage of the fact that they hold all of these offices that make these decisions. And so there's no opposition. They don't communicate openly about what they're up to. And they control the Supreme Court. So they get rulings that go in their direction. And people have to understand. And I'm surprised you start off by saying that it sounded like that Republicans thought that they were going to do better or something to that effect. But it seems to me rather obvious that there are no principles ultimately in electoral government besides who's got the power. It's just like the more primitive forms of government, where it's all about power and they wear that on their sleeves. But in this case, we're talking to Rob Sampson, by the way, state senator from Wilcott. But in this discussion, it turns out the same way. If you've got the power, if you control the big offices, you can do whatever you want, especially if you've controlled them for 20 years and you've filled all the judgeships and things like that.
Yeah, it's totally true. And it's very sad, Todd. I would like to believe that if Republicans were in charge, that we would return to the rule of law instead of the rule of who's in power, which is what we're witnessing. And you're absolutely right. The Democrats believe they can get away with anything. And, you know, they took some serious risk in 2020 with that scheme to mail those ballots applications to everyone in the state. And the Secretary of State took personal risk by going out there and indicating that anyone could complete one and fill it out. And then the Supreme Court, what should have been a slam dunk situation. I mean, the language of our state constitution is so clear, Todd, that, you know, you are allowed to get an absentee ballot for your personal reasons. You know, you're in the military or you're disabled or you're going to be out of town on business. You would never say, I need an absentee ballot because my neighbor's out of town on business. And nor would you say you need an absentee ballot because your neighbor is sick. And that's what they have done. They have redefined that definition. And the thing is, what's especially
through the court ruling,
the court ruling enabled this. And based on that court ruling, despite the law, the statute that the legislature passed, that the Democrats passed, which would have ended the day after this election, I believe it's opened the door for this to happen permanently going forward.
Well, that's the goal, clearly.
Yeah, it's something they didn't even count on being able to achieve, and they have. And I believe that this municipal election was in a big way a test for how that would work and whether it is worth their effort. And I'm very concerned that they're going to do it on a grand scale in the next election. And Republicans are going to have to try and emulate that. They're going to have to raise additional money to mail out ballots to their voters. But this is an unbelievably terrible way to run an election. You're going to disenfranchise people who are not identified by either party as reliably Republican or Democrat, for one thing, because they won't get a ballot. And in communities where only one party has the money, the other voters will be disenfranchised. And we have none of the necessary protections that they have in other states that do mail-in voting. We have no signature verification, and we don't have the manpower, really, to even process all of these ballots. Our voter rolls are a mess. You've heard all of this.
Sure.
It's a disaster, and it is rife with it's going to end up causing so much confusion, and we will not have legitimate elections. And my concern more than anything is losing the faith of the citizens in trusting our election process, which is already shaky.
You know, it's ironic where the Democrats are creating a system where their neglect of their responsibilities, their neglect of rule of law, their neglect of good government, their contempt for it is actually leading to them getting greater rewards from the electoral system. We're talking to Rob Sampson. We will continue coming up on WTIC. WTIC, we're continuing our conversation with State Senator Rob Sampson from Wilcott. We're talking about not early voting. I was going to say early voting again, but we're talking about absentee ballots and how those specifically have been manipulated and are being manipulated by the Democratic Party, which rules the state completely. So they violate the law. They violate the Constitution. They rig elections. This is how it works. This is one of the reasons I was so aggravated with Donald Trump's attempt to bring up election rigging with regard to his own specific election. If he cared about faulty elections, we have plenty of faulty elections because there are deliberate schemes run to manipulate elections. And I don't like that he, just for his own election, dove in and was throwing these big nets of accusations without really having evidence to support it, simply because he wanted to keep power. This is a serious problem, and that's what Rob's highlighting. So what else do we need to know about where we're at right now with regard to the absentee ballots, Rob?
Well, thank you for mentioning the whole Trump election issue, because it's a significant frustration of mine, because it seems even, you know, activist Republicans in Connecticut seem more focused on what is happening across the country in Arizona, Pennsylvania, places where supposedly the Trump-Biden election had problems. All I would say about that is I don't really know the details. And as far as I have seen, I don't doubt that there were problems, but I haven't seen any real concrete evidence. I haven't seen the pillow guy, for example, come up with the smoking gun yet. But what that does is it unfortunately takes away from the very real problems that we can identify right here in our state that I have documented over and over again. And also it adds ammunition to the Democrats who want to distract by trying to make this about that Trump election. And it's not. This is about something that's been going on for years, which is the abuse of the absentee ballot system, particularly in our cities. But now it's going to become widespread, because what you have done now is you have opened the door up to using that mail-in voting process for any person in our whole state. It used to be that the Democrats could, you know, harvest ballots, but they'd have to be careful about where, because they would have to do it in communities with people that are elderly or have a legitimate excuse under our constitutional law.
Excuse me one sec, just define that term for us, harvesting.
Well, ballot harvesting could be described a lot of different ways, but essentially it's intercepting the mail-in voting process at some point. either purposely targeting voters to make sure they receive an absentee ballot application or then an absentee ballot, and all the way up to actually going and visiting people in nursing homes, apartment buildings, and collecting their absentee ballots.
But that sounds like a really dramatic thing. But it seems to me, say, a city councilor in a what city councilors are old-fashioned machine politicians in some cities, where they are knowing their voters and going through their housing projects and making sure their voters are geared up to vote. And the ones who don't want to vote, you just throw a ballot in front of them. Look, it's all filled out. All you have to do is sign your name. It's no big deal. I'll take care of it for you. They under the guise of doing a favor, this is the easiest thing in the world. Is that what you call ballot harvesting?
And that's correct. You know, and we've heard testimony in the Government Administration and Elections Committee almost exclusively in the city of Bridgeport, Connecticut, about various, particularly municipal races and even Democratic primaries, where candidates engaged in bribing voters, you know, come down to the bar and have a free drink and bring your absentee ballot, you know, that kind of thing.
Like that's your admission ticket.
Right. Exactly. If you, we'll get you a free drink as long as you come with your completed Democrat ballot. It's disgraceful. And the problem really is, and I'm not even trying to cast aspersions on individual candidates, but the system has been rigged in such a way that it can be exploited by whoever has the money and the willingness to cheat. And, so far, I think we've seen that more on the Democrat side in our state. But I don't want anyone doing it. And the way to fix it is to actually end this charade, restore the meaning of illness to its proper intent in the state constitution. And if we are going to expand mail-in voting, we put in the proper checks and balances. And that's the thing, Todd. The Democrats don't want any checks and balances. I have tried year after year, for example, just to get photo identification passed for in-person voting. And every time it's brought up, they respond with some sort of argument that it's racist. And I respond with, well, we'll provide a state ID, photo ID for anyone who cannot afford one then. And they still fight it, and it ends up being a party line vote. And I ask them, what is the legitimate reason for not wanting people to have a photo ID to vote? And there's no answer to that question.
We're talking to Rob Sampson. You used the language about the system being rigged. You sounded just like Bernie Sanders for a half a second, and which is probably as long as you can sustain it for. But I do find it interesting how resonant that language has been in American politics since he introduced it a few years ago, and how accurate it is, how pervasive it is. System rigging is the great plague of a society that is supposed to be market-based in its politics. We are supposed to have elections as an expression of capitalism into the marketplace of power. And as soon as you go into a place where the powerful are and start trying to introduce systems of fairness and equity and markets, the people who pursue power start trying to rig those things. And now we've got a society that's a couple hundred years old, and everyone's figured out how to rig those things. And they've also figured out how to perform, how to put a happy face on out in front in public that convinces people that they are just the nicest, most well-meaning and competent people who've ever walked the planet. And then they walk back behind their curtains and they are system riggers full time. And it turns out that all of the things they say that are supposed to make us feel better are actually just cover stories to allow them free rein in the system rigging department. So we've got about 30 seconds left if you want to close this up.
I'll just say I completely agree. The only difference I would say is that it's not that they try to do these great programs and then rig the system. They are creating those programs for the purpose of rigging the system. Everything you hear about equity or wealth redistribution and all of this election stuff, it's all by design. And the source of it is giving the government too much power, which is why I fall on the side of limited government.
So the more power the government has, the more incentive the plunderers have to plunder that particular government. It's just like robbing banks. You go to the one that has the most cash, I would think.
Yeah, it's complete human nature. If you give people the power to make change, they're going to make change and they'll use that influence for their own benefit. That's why we need to shrink government.
State Senator Rob Sampson-Wilkett, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Todd.
We'll talk to you again soon. System rigging. There it is. Our system is rigged to have news at the top and bottom of every hour. So let's do that right now on WTIC News Talk 1080.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.